Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Sunday Gathering, a time to connect with Creator through prayer and reflection. Each week, the clergy of the Community Catholic Church of Canada gather to worship together, and we invite you to join us. We are an inclusive and progressive denomination in the Anglican Roman Catholic tradition. And now, let's prepare our hearts for worship and create sacred space to be blessed by God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. We thank you, O God, that you have again brought us together to praise you for your goodness and to ask for your blessing. Give us grace to see your hand in the week that is past and your purpose in the week to come. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Dear friends in Christ, as we turn our hearts and minds to worship Almighty God, let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with our neighbor.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we might delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Merciful God, grant to your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
This is the collect for the third Sunday in Lent. Father of mercy, alone we have no power in ourselves to help ourselves. When we are discouraged by our weakness, strengthen us to follow Christ, our pattern and our hope, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, beginning at the first verse. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the righteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
The psalm appointed between the lections is Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips. When I think of you on my bed, I meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Eternal love, our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Let your glory shine on us, that our lives may proclaim your goodness. Our work give you honor, and our voices praise you forever. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
A reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 10, beginning with the first verse. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the clouds, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters, as some of them did. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us, on whom the ends of the ages have come. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will provide you the way out so that you may be able to endure it. This is the word of the Lord. All thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with other sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in a way that they were worse sinners than all the other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise be to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength, our Redeemer. Today is the third Sunday of Lent, and today we heard the reading of Psalm 63. This psalm, which was written by David while he was in the wilderness of Judah, taking refuge in the place where he feels truly loved and secure in the shadow of the wings of God. This psalm is also one of the most loved psalms. It can have many meanings. John Chrysostom, year 347 to 407, wrote that it was decreed and ordained by primitive church fathers that no day shall pass without the public singing of this psalm. He also observed that the spirit and the soul of the whole book of the Psalms is contacted in the psalm. In fact, the ancient church had the practice of beginning singing the psalms at each Sunday service with Psalm 63 called the morning hymn. Truthfully, I've never heard of the psalms being sung until I started attending St. David's Anglican. It is beautifully done every Sunday. Last week, I talked about Psalm 27. Through this psalm, King David wrote about his fears, confidence, and trust in the Lord. Psalm 63 talks about being thirsty for God. By taking a closer look at this psalm, we will have a clearer understanding of how we can love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. Have you ever wanted anything so bad that you would almost do anything to get it? How about God? Do you want God? Do you thirst for him, long for him, the way David describes in this first verse? His soul thirsted for God, and his flesh longed for him. He believed that he would wither and die without him. Now, if it was you or I having to stay in the desert, what would we be lacking? What would we think are very important things for us to have? Water, of course, food, the comforts of home, shade to protect us from the hot sun, and the need of protection from predatory animals. But David, he did not cry out for water or food. He did not yearn for his comforts or the shade tree. David thirsted for God, his maker. He has been separated from his worship of God, from the temple of God, and from the praise of God. For David, it seems as though everything has gone wrong. All the blessings seem to have been lost. And in its circumstance, that David says, "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water." What intense, passionate, and desperate words he used. David is telling us that despite having lost the one and only thing he longs for is God. Now, how a person responds to this type of adversity tells us a lot about them. There are some people who seem to be religious on the exterior, but lack a true knowledge, a true saving knowledge of God. The more spiritual they feel, and the closer they are to religious ceremonies, the more they do seem to long after God. But now, if we remove them from those religious ceremonies, their desire for God vanishes. And then we take a look at David. He is separated from his religious ceremonies of Jerusalem. And yet we see that his heart yearns for God. It is truly a testimony to the reality of the grace of David's life. He longs for God. It's that simple. "O God, you are my God," the very first words of the psalm. This relationship between David and God is at the heart of this devotion. This is the covenant promise. "I will be your God, and you will be my people." And David is here affirming that. "Lord, you are my God. Not just our God, you are my God." Actually, verses 1 and 3 anchor the points of the whole psalm. "O God, you are my God, and because your loving kindness is better than my life, my lips will praise you." David will bless God because of his covenant love, his loving kindness, his faithful loyalty to David to stay with him and to be with him in every circumstance. Who are we after? What do we want? We know that David says he wants God, but what do we really want? And the circumstances like David's, when you have lost everything, call out for a real answer to that question. I'm sure we have come across or heard of people who have lost everything, whether through financial difficulties, illnesses, or Mother Nature's fury, they have nothing left. And now they are asking the same question: what does the Lord want to teach me from this? And what do we need to do to follow the Lord? And how would the Lord have me respond? And here is David, having lost everything, saying, "The one thing I want is God." And my dear friends, that is what worship is about. Worshiping the one you really want. Now here is a quote I came across. Worship is about saying, experience, this whatever it is what matters most to me. It's one of the highest values in my life. That thing that we may talk about may be a dream, a position, a relationship, or a status. But whatever name you put on that thing is whatever in your heart have concluded to be the most worthy for you. We can say that worship fuels all of our actions. as it becomes the driving force of all that we do. We all want to worship something, and many do. Could be God, an idol, a religious figure, etc. Something that one can show adoration to. And in return, that something will make one feel worthy. We may attend church and profess to worship the living God above. Then there are the ones that rarely darken the doors, and they might say that worship isn't a part of their lives because they're not religious. But everybody seems to have an altar of some sort, and every altar has a throne. And on that throne, which comes at the end of your trail to finding out whoever or whatever you worship is what will be of the highest value to you. We may say that we value this thing or another thing more than any other, but the volume of our actions speak louder than our words. We worship what matters most to us, and David is telling us here. Thing that matters most to me, the thing I want most is God. You can have my kingdom, you can have my throne, but I want God. His words are so important for us because here, in the worst circumstances, God brings out the best in David, and he expresses his thirst for the living God. In verses 5-8, David tells us that he is satisfied in the living God, and not only does he long for him, but he enjoys God. God is the thing that we treasure. And again, David presses that question on us. What do we treasure? My soul is satisfied as with the marrow and the fatness. My mouth offers praise with joyful lips. He longs for God on one hand, but he is satisfied with God on the other hand. David finds all of his longings met and more in God. William Guthrie says, it's the experience of the Christian to be able to say of Christ, less would not be satisfied, more is not desired. David is saying, I long for someone, God. I'm satisfied in someone, God. As a Christian, what do we treasure? Do we simply long for God, or do we also find satisfaction in him? David is telling us that he is satisfied in God, and David's own experience is a testimony to us. The Christian thirsts for God. The Christian longs for God. And more than anything, he is satisfied in God. He enjoys God. We glorify God, enjoy him forever. And that's what we are made for. It says that's the chief end of man. The psalm has shown us the experience of longing for God after all the props have been taken out from underneath us, when everything else has been taken away. The great trial that has been given to us is because we have so much, and that we at times tend to confuse the gifts with the giver. We enjoy all the gifts that we have been given to us, but then we tend to start preferring them over the giver. In this circumstance, all the gifts have been taken away. And David says this, give me the giver, even though you have taken every other gift, because the gift of the giver is the one thing I want, and it's the only thing that will satisfy me. Wow, what powerful words to hear. It really makes you think of what to really treasure and what to really want. So my dear friends, this is how God has built us. Until we find our rest in him, our hearts will remain restless, because the giver did not make us to be filled up by the gifts, but only by the giver. We may ask God to be able to help us distinguish between the two and to want the right one. Because as it's been stated in the Bible, we cannot serve both God and mammon. In Luke 16:13, Jesus says almost the same very thing. He said, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Let us love, serve, long for, and be satisfied in God. Amen.
With confidence and trust, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the one holy Catholic and apostolic church throughout the world, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the mission of the church, that in faithful witness it may preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those preparing for baptism and for their teachers and sponsors, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For peace in the world, that a spirit of respect and reconciliation may grow among nations and people. We pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the poor, the persecuted, the sick, and all who suffer, those in our church family, Philip and Charlene, Bishop Jean, Reverend Trina, Reverend Jeanette, Father Grew of Montreal as he recovers from injuries sustained in this morning's attack, and victims of violence in New Zealand and around the world. For refugees, prisoners, and all in danger, that they may be relieved and protected, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all whom we have injured or offended, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For grace to amend our lives and to further the reign of God, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Yours, Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the splendor, and the majesty. For everything in heaven and on earth is yours. All things come from you, and of your own do we give you. Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplications to you. And you have promised through your well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together, you will hear their requests. Fulfill now our desires and petitions as may be best for us, granting us this, in this world knowledge of your truth, and in the age to come, eternal life. For you, Father, are good and loving, and we glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has commanded and taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Linked by spirit, voice, and intention, we are wrapped in the love of God, all one in spirit, beyond the limits of time and space. Around the world at this very moment, countless prayers are being lifted, songs of praise are being offered, bread and wine is being blessed to nurture God's dear children. United in Christ, we lift our prayers and praise to God, and we give thanks that we too are spiritually fed in this time of worship. Lord Jesus, you call us to follow you. We love you above all things, and we give thanks that you transform our hearts with your love. Embrace each of us now. Unite us to you in this time of worship and each moment of our day. We give thanks that we are all fashioned by your love, gifted by your grace, and upheld by your loving presence. May the blessings that we receive in this sacred connection move us to be blessings in the world. Amen.
May we be the hands of Christ assisting one another. May we be the voice of Christ speaking up against injustice and unloving actions. May we be the heart of Christ reaching out with compassion and healing. May we have the understanding of Christ and see all as a brother and sister and this planet as a sacred and holy world. And may the Holy Spirit guide us and empower us this day to accomplish our purpose with love and abundant joy. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and everyone you love, day and forevermore. Amen.
Go forth in the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us this day for our time of worship. If you have a prayer request, please send it along to communitycatholicchurch@gmail.com. If you'd like to make a financial donation to help support our ministry, please visit the website at www.communitycatholicchurch.com. Join us next week at 10:30 a.m. for the next Sunday gathering. Blessings to you in the name of our God of love.